Well, stand up and pray with me, church. Let's pray together this morning. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, Lord, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. Be seated. Hallelujah. Enjoy yourself. Kick your shoes off and let the joy fill you. We're going to read together. Responsive reading today. What'd she say?
Should I take my shoes off?
Yeah, Aubrey can take your shoes off, of course. No? Good girl. That's good. Yeah, you be comfortable. That's what we want you to have. We want you to have joy in church. Oh, come on. It's not that. It's beautifully warm in here. Thank you. You know, before we do the responsive reading, anybody ever see that show? What's that, Steve? What's that? You got a name? How many on the board? Family Feud. Anybody ever see Family Feud? At the end, when there's like three or four answers they don't get, and then they turn around and they reveal it. Do you ever hear the audience? They read it so loud, and I'm thinking, listen to that. They read each answer so loud. I'm thinking, if we can do that in responsive reading, we really have something. Hallelujah, because we're reading it. Bow down your ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Yes, it's like that. You guys are going to set a bad example for people here next week. That was awesome. Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I cry to you all day long. That's exactly how they do it on that show. I'm just sitting up. Do you hear that? Isn't that awesome? Okay, I got to read three. So let me get. No, you got that one in the middle. Okay. For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive. Thank you, Lord, and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you. They can hear you at St. Mary's. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon you, for you will answer me. All nations whom you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. Fear your name means to love it with reverence. Listen, all nations who you have made. Every Sunday after church we sing God Bless America. So listen, he shall glorify, we shall glorify, and he shall come and bless us. Amen. I believe that. I believe just by what you're doing, God hears that. Understand what you just did when you're responsive reading. Understand something. God hears it. What you just did, the angels in heaven heard. What you just did was everybody, you heard each other speaking, which gives you this extra strength. You understand how good, did it feel good or not? I mean, it didn't change. If it didn't change you, I'm going to keep working at that. Praise God. But your spirit changes people. Your attitude changes people. You can draw people to God by just a smile. Imagine that. You don't need to write 30 books or be smart. You just smile at somebody. Say, what are you smiling at? My God was really good to me. And they say, really? How do I get to know your God? Well, come to my church. My pastor's crazy and he might tell you something. Hallelujah. Or he's going to fall down on the cord. Where to find God? God is everywhere, right? So, you see this little book here? I've read this book 50 times. It's a little paperback book. It says Scientific Facts in the Bible. I picked this book up and I read this. You know where I got this? At the airport. God was at the airport waiting for me. God, Jesus was at the airport saying, psst, Larry, lips you. I read this book, and when I read this book, guess what this book makes me do? Open the Bible. Because I open up the Bible to read what it said, to see that it really said what it said to said. And this book said what it said, and the Bible said what it said, and this book the Bible said. And this, I got it at the airport. This little book here, this little pamphlet, this little book, it's a paperback. This was free. Say that with me. Free. And I thought there was something wrong. And there was seven others like him, and I took all seven. This one says, I have heard, but now I see. It's Pastor Branham. He's from Missouri. And he wrote these little paperback books for people. And I got this one at an Amish food market in Tennessee. Amish. I'm thinking, what did they talk about? It was right there on the counter in one of them little bookcases things for free, it said. And I felt guilty, but I took all seven that they had. I went on the internet, and I bought 33 more for a dollar each. And he's got even more. But I found this at an Amish bookstore. See what I'm saying? The other day, now you can think, oh, you're never going to find God there. And guess where I found God? At Walmart's. Yep. At Walmart's. There he was. I went to the little book area. I'm looking around, and I see this book by Pastor T.D. Jakes. Any of you ever heard of T.D. Jakes? Kind of a cool guy. And I opened up the book, and he's talking about destiny, and I said, that's pretty cool. And I put it back, and I went over, and I looked at some things, and I found myself going back three times. Three times I went back, and I said, I might as well just bring the book home. And I've read that book up to page 47, and I've had it for 3 weeks, but you say, well, that's not much. No, because I go back and read it again, and I mark my pages, Lisa. I mark yellow, and I write and circle things, and I've gone back and reread those pages so that I could absorb what was in that before I get to more stuff. You see what I'm saying? But I found that one at Walmart's. So God is everywhere you are when you decide you want to find him. You can go anywhere you want to go today, any store, and say, is God here? And look around, and you'll find him. If your heart desire is to be closer to God and read his word and know more, he's waiting for you at an Amish food market, at Walmart's, at the airport, with all the stuff going on at the airport and people complaining and all the people running like crazy. And there he was, God just standing there. Hi, how you doing? He said, you're going to like this book. Yeah, right here. And I picked it up. It was like $3.95. And I must have read it 50 times. And the things in here, guess what it does? It draws me closer to God. Hallelujah. You got to remember what the Bible says about God's voice. It's not going to be thunder. It's not going to be the storm, right? Margie's going to be that still, small voice. No, God is whispering to you. God's going to whisper to you in that voice. And it's going to be a leading or a desire or a thought. That is where you begin to find many treasures. How many like treasures? I love treasures. When you find these, you're finding treasures. And let me tell you one more thing about God and where he is before we pray. This book here stays with me forever. I've read this book over and over. I've read these books, his books, over and over. And each time I read it, it stays with me. Understand that? It's not like one of my favorite Louis L'Amour stories that I love. These stay with me. These really move me. These have changed my life. They have changed my thought patterns. They have made me see God in ways I would have never seen him before. So these books are more than just something I read occasionally. These books are important, and I found them in places where people would never expect to find God. Hallelujah. And you want to be fed. So I would simply ask you this before we pray. Are you looking this morning? Let's pray together. Lord, people need to realize that you are everywhere. All they do is they need to search for you a little bit. Go to the mall and look around, and they'll see something. They'll see something that draws them over. And when they look at it, when they grab it and they see it, they say it was from you. And that will be so cherished. They find a book somewhere, somebody talking about God in the place that they least expect it. And they walk over and they hear something that confirms something they were thinking, something they were feeling. They say, wow, God, I didn't know you were going to be in this restaurant today. Last week we were talking about God in the restaurant with our waitress. All of a sudden, talking about God and religion and things we did growing up. See, right in that restaurant, God was standing right there listening to us talk about him in a place where people were just too busy because they were eating. You can find God everywhere because he's waiting for you every day, every minute, everywhere to tell you something good. Amen. Something good. Who wants to hear bad all the time? When you hear negative all the time, what does that do to your spirit? It destroys your spirit. When you hear things that are gloom, despair, what does that do to you? It brings you gloom. You think there's no hope? How can there be any hope? This person talking so miserably that I got no hope. But when you talk about God to somebody who knows God, or when God sends these books to you, these little things to you, when He sends them to you and you start to read them, it changes who you are. Well, that's the greatest gift of all, that you can change. No matter what age you are, it gives you hopes and dreams. It gives you a thought that changes the thought you had the day before that might have got you in trouble. It changes. It removes temptations. It removes thoughts that were going to destroy your life to thoughts that are going to lift you up and make you shine. Trust in God. He is everywhere. I pray that today you start to see that. And I pray today, wherever you go, whoever you're talking to, you listen. You listen for something about God and let God say, psst, come over here. Here I am. Look at this. Listen to this. And people will confirm to you what you've been praying about, because that's the way our Father in heaven does. So I pray that you see that God is truly everywhere. In Jesus' name I pray that you see it. Hallelujah. Give Him praise, church. Hallelujah. Give Him praise. God is everywhere. Mike, I'm so glad to see you, sir, and thank you for coming to want to hear something. So I pray that whatever I talk about today makes you think something. You have no idea how much my heart is happy to see you, my friend. And we saw Gladys this week. We spent a little time with Art and Gladys. She looked great, and she was nice and warm in her home there, Art. And I know we're going to pray and keep praying and keep believing to see her sitting next to Art very soon. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm believing for that. God created everything. People are talking about science. You hear about science and God. There is no difference between science and God. Every invention that man has created, every discovery man has found, was here waiting for them from who? Hallelujah. And don't believe me. You believe God. Everything that you see, and we're going to talk about, you realize that they didn't discover something that was not here. You can't discover something that's not here. If it's not here, you can't discover it. But if God put it here and put things here for us, and scientists and very smart men found it and learned how to use it, is that not a gift from God? Then believe God. Don't believe. Everything in order. From the beginning. I always joke about baseball in the Bible, Fran, right in the beginning. The first three lines of the Bible, in the beginning. Stanton hit a grand slam. Nope, sorry. All right, I'm picking on him already. I love my friends. In the beginning, Michael, God created everything. It's in the Bible. Open up the first page. And God created light first. Anybody ever wonder why? That's first. Moses wrote that down. God created light first because without light, nothing else could exist. And then it said the second thing He created was the sky and the water. So He created the atmosphere. Because without the atmosphere, nothing would live in it. Without the oxygen and without everything that is needed. And the air. He created the levels in the distance. And the third thing He created on the third day was the land and the sea. So He had land and He had the sea. Now notice the order that He's doing it. Decency and order. God does things. He creates things in order. Say that with me. In order. Otherwise, it would have failed. Everything that He created in that way kept it from. Now, the fourth thing He made was the sun and the moon on the fourth day. He made the sun at a certain distance, so we need the sun. We all know we can't live without the sun, amen? We can't live without the S-U-N or the S-O-N. We can't live without them. So we can't. And He created the sun and put it in exactly. If the sun was 2 million miles closer, we wouldn't be here. If it was 2 million miles further away, guess what? You wouldn't be here. So He created, and He created the moon for our gravity. He put it in the perfect place. So He did that. He set up everything. Now He's got the light. He's got the sky, the water. He's got the land, the sea. He's got the sun and the moon. Now what? On the fifth day, He created the fish and the birds. He put the fish in the water and the birds in the sky. Because now the birds could travel. They can go to the land and sea, and the fish could swim. And on the sixth day, he created the animals. Because now they had food. They had water and they had food. God created all this stuff in its proper order for us. God created everything. Everything that we have seen. Science discovered, this is amazing, science discovered that light has a speed. Although the Bible tells us that it's already had, they talked about sending light and sending voice. The Bible, the scientists discovered that light actually has a speed all its own. And they also discovered that sound has a speed all its own. Did they discovered that, but did they create that?
No.
Who created that? Who created it in a way that we could use it? God created the sound and the light to have a speed, and that electricity passed through the light with the speed. Science discovered that. What a great discovery. Only God created it. That's our God who created that. Now, how many like to watch the weather? People love to watch the weather, and they study the weather, and they study the weather patterns, and they study the winds. But guess who created the winds? Amen? You don't believe me? Not Al Roker. Who said Al Roker? I don't believe. It says in Ecclesiastes 1, it says, the sun also rises and the sun goes down. People didn't know that, and hastens to the place where it rose. Now listen to what it says. So this is what science discovered. They discovered it, and they said they were excited about learning about the wind patterns. But if you open up your Bible right to the beginning, it says, the wind goes towards the south and turns around to the north. The wind whirls around continually and comes again on its circuit. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. To the place from which the rivers come, they will return again. That is in your Bible. Amen. God created that in a way, and it told us back then about the wind currents. Science discovered it. Amen. Men discovered how they can predict the weather by looking at the wind cycles, saying, well, there's a big storm over here, and that storm, because of the wind, is going to come over here. They discovered that. But who created it? Say that again. Who created it? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Quiet. I love that. People are ready to listen. I love that. In the Bible. In the what?
Bible.
Encyclopedia. Britannica. And this big book that they have with all this stuff documents that in 1845, a young doctor in Vienna named Dr. Ignaz Selmowitz was horrified at the terrible death rate of women who gave birth in hospitals. As many as 30% died after childbirth. Semmelweis noted that doctors would examine the bodies of patients who died, then, without washing their hands, go straight to the next ward and examine expectant mothers. This was their normal practice because the presence of microscopic diseases was unknown. Semmelweis insisted that doctors wash their hands before each examination, and the death rate immediately dropped to 2%. Hello. Look at the specific instructions God gave thousands of years ago. How many? To his people when they encountered disease. And it says, and when he that has an issue is cleansed of his issue, then he shall number himself to himself 7 days for his cleansing, and wash his clothes, and bathe his flesh, lest ready for this, in running water, and it shall be clean. Leviticus. If doctors back then knew about the Bible and knew that God gave us this word and God created everything and read his word, they would have known back then that when somebody is unclean, you have to separate them. You have to move them away from healthy people. Imagine that in the Bible. And you had to wash your hands. And remember how many ever saw Ben Casey? Remember Ben Casey? And he's always got his hand in a bowl and he's kind of washing it. Said, the Bible said, no, you got to wash your hands in what kind of water? Running water. But there it was in Leviticus in the Bible telling doctors what to do and how to save lives. God, because God created everything, and He knew how for us to fix things that were wrong. Amen. And it's hallelujah. This one I love. This one I love. Anybody ever hear of the Black Plague that happened in our world? Thank you, Lord. Long before medical science discovered the importance of quarantine of persons with infectious diseases, the Bible instigated them. In 1490 B.C., what does that mean? Before Christ. In 1490 B.C., the scriptures told the children of Israel what to do if a man has leprosy. Now, we don't see a lot of leprosy anymore, but understand that was one of the most contagious, awful diseases. We have them now. We have all sorts of things going on in our world, amen, that people are, even the flu. Look at how many people are getting the flu. And why are they getting the flu? Because they're going to the mall shopping. Because they're going in their car and driving over to visit their family. Oh, I don't feel good. But and that's why are people getting the flu? Because they're not staying to themselves. Hallelujah. Yesterday, Greg. Yesterday, we did two shows at two homes. The first one, the people said, oh, we're not going to have a lot of people because on Thursday we were quarantined. And today's the first day we're letting people out. And we said, okay. And then we went to the second show, and they said, well, we can't bring the people from the second floor down because there's a flu upstairs. Like the flu knows to stay on its own floor. Now, we need the money. We love our job. But if they called us and said, would you want to come? We'd have said, no. Because we're going to go to more nursing homes. We're going to go to one today. And if we went and we get sick, who are we going to make sick? Them. See, that's so let's go back. Long before medical science discovered the importance of quarantine of persons with infectious diseases, the Bible told them in 1490 B.C., the scriptures tell the children of Israel what to do if a man has leprosy. Listen, all the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone without the camp, and shall his habitation be. Laws of quarantine were not instigated by modern man until the 17th century. And it said during the devastating Black Death of the 14th century, patients who were sick or dead were kept in the same rooms as the rest of the family. People often wondered why the disease was affecting so many people at one time. They attributed these epidemics to bad air or evil spirits. However, careful attention to the medical commands of God, as revealed in Leviticus, would have saved untold millions of lives. How many? Yes. Arturo Castelloni wrote about this overwhelming importance of this biblical medical law. The laws against leprosy in Leviticus 13 may be regarded as the first model of sanitary legislation. Hello, and you can find it if you want to look in the book, Jim, if it's called A History of Medicine, Grant R. Jeffries, The Signature of God. Praise the Lord. God created everything. Amen. So if everything in the Bible we could have found, I just read to you a couple of things where God is and the Bible saved millions or could have saved millions of lives. Amen. And I explained to you how God created everything and started in order with light. And so He made a pattern so things could survive. Because if He made one thing out of order, everything would have failed. Amen. Do you all believe that? Do you believe what we've been reading? Don't believe me. You believe God. Believe God. Now we're getting to the meat. Revelation 12:7. This is in that same book. Understand what God is telling us now and what we're learning here. And war broke out in heaven. What broke out?
War.
Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan. Satan simply means accuser. The word Satan simply means accuser. It's not his name. It's not any. He's simply going to accuse us of all sorts of things, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. How much of the world? He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. And they overcame him. This is so beautiful. This is where you don't worry. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Understand that. Let me read it again, because it's a word that people miss. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. That's Jesus dying on the cross. Amen. And the word of their testimony. Whose testimony? Your testimony. Yes. See, that's how you overcome it. By the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. When the devil comes against you, you speak God's word. That's the word. Say, I love Jesus. That's the word of your testimony. God has been good to me. That's the word. See, God is with me. That's the word of... And it says people miss that. They think it's God's testimony. No. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea. For the devil has come down to you having great wrath. He's pretty mad because he knows that he has a short time. Hallelujah. But greater is he that is in you than is in this world. Can you say that with me? Greater is he that is in you than is in this world. God is with you. Amen. So you never fear. Never fear those words. It's just telling us the truth. The truth. Amen. Say that with me. The truth. You believed about the creation. You believed about everything the Bible. And it's still telling us the truth. Even in Revelation. That Satan is here now. And he's the father of all lies. He's the deceiver. He's the one that's going to put pain in your life. He's going to steal your joy. Steal your family. Until he steals your life. And it says it's the word of your testimony that gives you strength to overcome. But you didn't do it. I don't want you to think you have to do it, because Jesus did it right here on the cross. By the blood of the Lamb, you're already saved. How many love Jesus? Then you're already under his blood. You're already covered in his blood. But you see, you got more power than that. You're not just walking around, la la. You don't want peace, you want power. Amen. You want power. Let's talk about us and power. Matthew 4. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterwards, he was hungry. What does that mean to you? It means that Jesus was as weak as he could be. He was at his weakest. Anybody ever felt like you're at your weakest state? You got nowhere to go. The string is pulled and you got nowhere to go. That's where Jesus is. Now when the tempter came, that's Satan, came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones become bread. Because he knew he was hungry. Satan knew Jesus was what? Hungry. So what's the first place he goes? Command these stones to be turned to bread. Why? So he could eat. So many times in your life you're tempted or you're led to do things that are just not going to work because you feel like it's going to help you and it's going to destroy you. Listen to what Jesus said. It is written. It is what? That's why you need to know the word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up into the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple. And he said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Every temptation not of God will leave you to pain. Amen. Every little thing that you do that you know is hurting your body, and those temptations that you follow through with are not causing you good things. Understand that. God is telling us what we need to do. He's telling us to follow him, to follow his leading, and good things will happen. Amen. And don't ever feel like it's too late. Don't ever feel like you can't do it. Don't ever feel like, because God will bless you so high, and he'll make you so strong after you don't give in to the temptation, that it's never too late. Can you say that with me? Never too late. It's just never too late. That's another lie that the devil's going to tell you. It's too late. You're too old. You don't have enough money. You don't know what you're doing. You'll never figure it out. Everybody else is right and you're wrong. Anybody ever hear that? Hallelujah. Again, this is my favorite of the three. This is amazing. Again, the devil, you talk about lying, you talk about being deceitful, you talk about people talking to you or lying to you, or the Satan lying to you, or the temptations lying to you that sound so right, that are so wrong. Listen to this. Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. Can you picture that with me? The devil is taking Jesus to the top of the mountain, and you're just looking out, and he's showing him all the beauty, all the glory of the kingdom and the world and the glory. And he says to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. All these things I will give you. You're talking about a snake salesman right there. You talk about somebody offering something he doesn't even have. Something he doesn't own. Something he never possessed in his life. Something that's nothing to do, yet he is promising it to somebody else. Imagine what he's doing. He's not in a position to give anybody anything, yet he's standing there offering everything. These things, he said. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. If you give in to the temptations, you're not going to get the results you're looking for. If you give in to that, you're going to have issues that God wants to take away from you because he loves you. And Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So let's close this up today for us today. We need power in our thought life. Understand, power in your thought life with God. It begins every day with you. If you believe me and believe what we read, God created everything. Say that with me. God created everything. And if he created everything, he also created you. And if he created you, he has a plan for you. And Michael, he has a plan for you. He has a design in your life. You might not have reached that vision yet, but he's still got it. He's got a plan for you, friend, because he knows you and he created you to be great. Be great, to be greater than anything you can imagine. When you're following God, he lifts you higher and puts you in places you don't even imagine because you'd be too afraid to think it. But God says, I have a plan for you. Hallelujah. So we have to change our thought life every day. Because if God created all this and we're his creation, it is true. Satan comes for this, to steal your joy, your peace, your life, and your success. Those are the temptations that he promises you. All those good temptations are lies. When God comes, he gives you hope. He gives you life. He gives you joy. He gives you peace. He gives you contentment. He gives you a way to ways that man can never open up. When we follow him, we follow this book. And I just showed you today what's in this book. I showed you today how right it was in the days before and how right it is today. This book. Find God everywhere. Open your hearts today. I found this at the airport. I found God at the airport. I found God at Walmart's. When you find God, Marty, when you find him, when you really, not just when you find him, you're never going to let go. Because when you find him and see the power inside of you that you thought was impossible yesterday, you'll never let go and you'll never be the same. Give him praise, church. Give him more praise than ever. We're going to be blessed for just a couple of minutes. Joanne is going to play a little anthem. She's going to play a song with the choir. I pray to you today, let your spirit rest. Let it just grow closer to God. All the problems that you have, God's got an answer. But give it to God. Search for God and enjoy this moment where your spirit could be at peace. Let the healing begin. Yes, it's true. God can. He can take away those temptations. He can heal your body. He can heal you in your thought life. And when you follow God, your body feels stronger. When you're at peace, your body can heal. We got a great testimony from Ray. Again this week, he got a good result from the doctor. Again, we're just believing, continue believing. But you need to trust him. He can do all things. You just need to give him those prayers. Because of what Jesus did for us. Because of what Jesus did for us in that Bible. We have all this grace and all these powers. In Jesus' name, we shall do this. Thank you, deacons. Thank you, Deacon Bill. Who aren't here today, brothers and sisters, let this place is so spiritually strong today. Pray for those. Lift up Elder Nancy in our prayers. Let's do it, Mary, this morning in our prayers. As we're doing this unto Jesus, let's lift them up. Miracles, time, some time for miracles. They've waited, they stood on faith, but we need as a family to pray for that. The Spirit is so strong in here this morning. Everybody's in one accord. Let's pray that together for them, for the miracles they believe for us. To see and us to behold. Let's pray for them. We love them so much, Lord. We're asking you today to touch them, to lead them, Father. Thank you. As we do this in remembrance of your Son, for what Jesus did for us on that cross, we remember in Jesus' name. Covered in the blood. It's not a scary thing. It's not a bad thing. Just he shed his blood for us, for the remission of our sins. And we are underneath that blood. So God, forgive us for any iniquities we had this week. Cleanse us, Lord, to receive. Receive this sacrament. Receive this promise. Receive this blessing from your Son. Those problems that you're dealing with, God has an answer for them if you trust him. You might have to change your thoughts, your ways, and just your thinking, the power of your thinking. But God has a way if you'll let him. I pray those every day for you and for me too. To find ways to open doors with my son. Find ways to just heal people. Pray for people. I'm praying for you and for your families. And I know that there's a sadness sometimes when you're dealing with that. This is a perfect time to ask God to help you. Open those doors. Show us how to do it. By the blood of the Lamb. And all he asks for us to do is to do this in remembrance of him. In Jesus' name. Be healed, Lord. today. Thank you, Lord. Give him praise, church. Let me just say that man should not feel lower or belittled because God created what they discovered. Understand? Anybody have a cell phone here? You have that cell phone in your pocket. You open it up, you can call somebody on the other side of the world and talk to them immediately. Talk to them on the other side of the world. And it was only because science, people discovered the speed of light, the speed of sound, and that electricity travels at that. And they took what God gave them, and these brilliant, brilliant minds discovered how to use that. Amen. So it doesn't belittle their discovery or their invention, because it's magnificent what they've discovered and how to use it. But just imagine, it started back in the first page of the Bible. It started with God when he created light to travel, when he created sound to travel. But men learned how to harness that. Amen. And when they learned how to harness that, look at the things that they've discovered how to do. And that's, see, man should not think, well, that somehow it belittles what they did, because I think it enhances what they did, because they took what God gave them and made something so magnificent. And I think that's where we need to go. And so I just wanted to share, I forgot to share that thing about the cell phones, because it's so powerful, the thing to think about. A little device in your hand, you can talk to somebody on the other side of the planet because of the beginning when God created it for us to be able to do that.